for the first time in 16 years.
It's refreshing. It's time for a new journey with the Packers.
The Green Bay Packers enter a season without Aaron Rodgers leading the offense.
This year, I think for the first time in a while, it's going to be the defense.
And that leaves one essential question for fans.
What will Love do?
What can we expect from the season of Love? From the Fox 6 Studios, this is Open Record. I am your host, Brian Polson, and I am lucky enough this week to be joined by literally two-thirds of the Fox 6 sports team. We have Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Voren making a return appearance on the podcast. Welcome, Tim.
Always fun, Brian. Thanks for the invite.
And, you know, we were just talking before we got on here. There was a question I had, and I forgot what it was. I remember what it was now. We have Lily Zhao here. Is this your maiden voyage on Open Record?
It is.
I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. Okay, it is. So thank you for joining us as well for this. And, of course, we're recording this on Tuesday, September 5th, and this is the week leading up to the opening week of the NFL season. So we usually record this on Wednesdays. You will both be very busy tomorrow, obviously, because it is media day, the final Packers media day in Green Bay before the pack opens up its season with the rival Chicago Bears. And obviously, this is a huge test for QB1, Jordan Love. We know much has been made of the Packers' dominance over the Bears, especially under Aaron Rodgers in recent years. So this is a huge game out of the gate right now. Either one of you can take this, but how big of a deal is it not just for it to be Jordan Love's debut, but against the Chicago Bears?
Sure. I think, again, this we talked about it on the Fox 6 Sports Blitz. I think this is an important game for the Packers to win and to kind of debut and say, hey, we're still here. It's not like without Aaron Rodgers, we're going to lay down and everyone's going to roll over us. I think, again, this is a very important game for the Green Bay Packers, is to kind of show the personnel that they have, what they've been working on this offseason, and what we can expect out of Jordan Love the rest of the way. I think this is an important game for the Packers to win, not just because it's NFC North, you know, implications, but it's the Bears. It's a rivalry game. Everyone's going to be really, really hyped. Talking to some people in Chicago, they're expecting the Bears to just win this one because it's not Aaron Rodgers, right? So, again, an important game for this Packers team to win, and I think it's just get off on the right foot and get things rolling from there.
It is a winnable game, right? I mean, this isn't like they're facing, I don't know, the Kansas City Chiefs week one. The Bears is a winnable game even with a new QB1, right?
The Bears were dreadful last season. They have really tried to goose their roster this year. They have made a major commitment under a general manager and coach. They're going in this direction, and they have some optimism. It's a big test for them. How will they stack up? They've had all this talk about we're newfangled and here we go. If you get slapped back down again, that takes some momentum away. So in the NFL, all professional sports, the players do change. We've had amazing continuity quarterback in Green Bay to watch with Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers. So now it is Jordan Love's turn. But the fans are there year in and year out. And these Chicago fans have seen Favre and Rodgers just dominate this matchup, own the Bears fans, as Aaron Rodgers talked about. So they're eager to see if they have any shot against new Green Bay blood.
Now, I have a lot of things here that I've listed we can talk about, but the offseason can be repetitive. You talk about some of the same things over and over again for a long time, but we're finally here. What's the vibe in the locker room going into the Love tenure here? What do you sense when you're around the players, when you're around the team? What are the expectations? How do things feel?
I think that it's very positive. I think if you look at this offseason, what the Packers could have wanted to accomplish, they accomplished. They stayed very healthy. They lost tight end Tyler Davis, but they are the team that they wanted to be in May as they start the season here in September. Jordan Love had a positive preseason. His statistics are good. The players responded to him. He didn't make big mistakes out there. They found a backup quarterback in rookie Sean Clifford. The second-year wide receivers have all grown a little bit. They seem to show potential on the outside. So what went wrong for the Packers this preseason and training camp? Really nothing. But what does that matter now that the regular season starts? Also, really nothing. So the vibe is positive, Brian, but it starts again and it can change very quickly.
Yeah, Lily, I think I might have heard you say this on the Blitz, or the phrase sticks in my head, but it seemed like the kind of preseason that was free of drama. Which, when you talk about the Green Bay Packers in recent years, it's nothing but drama. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Has that changed the feel of things in the locker room and in terms of where the attention goes when you go to talk to people?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different, right? Because, you know, Aaron Rodgers there, there's a different set of expectations. Not saying Jordan Love doesn't have that same set of expectations, but again, a bigger chunk of that group that had been with Rodgers, they're all gone now. So it's essentially kind of a fresh locker room. You have some mainstays, Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, Preston Smith. Those guys are the elder statesmen of the locker room, but everybody else is young. I mean, they've not done this before, so they're doing it for the first time with Jordan Love. So while there's not that, you know, hoopla and all the stuff, the outside noise that we've had to talk about in previous Packers seasons, there's still a lot to talk about within this team, but they've avoided that kind of outside noise and all that narrative and just kind of focused on themselves because, again, they're such a young group. You know, they're fresh, they're excited, but, you know, that's what we're focusing on more so now than anything else outside the locker room.
Now, they may not want to admit this, but I just wonder if you've seen this. I mean, and we'll talk about some of the, you know, position by position stuff, but do you hear of anyone on the team who's keeping an eye out? They're watching Hard Knocks. They're watching Aaron Rodgers and the Jets preseason because there's tremendous access. And obviously the voyeur and all of us wants to see what's going on. It's kind of like watching the X, right? What's she up to these days? What is Aaron Rodgers doing? Have you noticed if any of the players are keeping an eye on Hard Knocks?
I've heard some references in the locker room, and that's understandable. Jordan Love was in the quarterback room with Aaron Rodgers his entire career, so that's a guy he knows very well. The coaches and support staff people, they all worked very closely with Aaron Rodgers for many years. A lot of the roster didn't work as closely. There's so many new faces now and rookies and that sort of thing. They understand Aaron Rodgers and what that means in Green Bay, but they don't have that personal relationship with him. But some of the offensive players, you mentioned David Bakhtiari earlier, Lilly, and some of these other guys definitely have paid attention to it. Randall Cobb's on there. Alan Lazard's on there. You know, you're talking about a lot of players that they're familiar with. And Randall Cobb, if you heard one episode, he was referring to, you got to go S12. Eight. I mean, because still refer to Aaron Rodgers as 12.
I think his Twitter or his X, has that changed? Because it was still Aaron Rodgers 12, right?
Yeah, 12.
It always will. He'll always be number 12, at least to all of us. So when you look at the preseason, statistically speaking, I know Jordan Love didn't spend a lot of time on the field, but it was solid. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a pretty decent quarterback rating. What can you take away from that in terms of his efficiency on the field, at least in the preseason, and what that might mean for the regular season?
Sure. I mean, you know, he played in every single preseason game, which I thought was important for Matt LaFleur and these starters to kind of get out there we want to play in every game because, again, these guys are all brand new and they've never worked with Jordan Love before in that capacity. So they want to see what these guys can do. And again, I've talked about it, but I think it's just his resiliency, his ability to bounce back. I think a lot of young quarterbacks, if they make a mistake in a game that actually counts, right, they get flustered and then, you know, all these things start to spiral downward. But I think for him, it's like he's not leaving a game until he scores a touchdown. And we saw that in every single preseason game. So just, I think his vibe with the guys, you know, they consider him a leader and rightfully so. But I think just the progress on the field was encouraging to watch. And then how he commands the offense, Matt LaFleur high on that aspect of his game as well. And also just, again, getting those reps out there, getting those game time reps is so important for him. So I liked what I saw out there. But again, can it translate to a hostile environment in Chicago when things start to matter for real? We'll see in a couple days and it's going to be fun to watch.
I was thinking about, if you haven't watched a lot of Packers football for the last couple of years and somebody said, list me off the wide receivers. I mean, Christian Watson, okay, he had a great breakout season last year, great rookie season. But again, if you didn't watch for the last couple of years, you'd say, who's Christian Watson? Beyond that, Romeo Dobbs. And then after that, the names get really unfamiliar. Can you talk a little bit about the receiving core and the weapons that the Jordan Love is going to have to throw to this season?
Young, pretty fast, unproven. I mean, I don't know how else you would describe it. I think Jaden Reed is a name that you're going to hear a fair amount. He's going to play a lot. He's going to be the slot receiver. He's a rookie out of Michigan State, started his college career at Western Michigan, and he's kind of hit the ground running. So he's a guy who's going to be in there. Young tight ends as well. They're going to use tight end Luke Musgrave quite a bit. They're going to target him. He's a rookie second-round draft choice. They drafted Tucker Kraft in the 3rd round. He's been a little bit slower to come along, but you're going to see some young players out there at tight end. And Matt LaFleur would like to use the tight end position in his offense. They haven't done a whole lot of that in Green Bay to this point, but they'd like to stretch the field a little bit there. So you're going to see some guys who can get out there, who can get down the field. And they have a wide receiver who had a real nice preseason named Malik Heath. And he was undrafted. He started his college career at Mississippi State. He ended up at Mississippi. And he just kind of came in and kept making plays, kind of the Alan Lazard type receiver who will block and do some of the dirty work. Now, can he He was undrafted. He's a rookie. Can he do that in the regular season against opposing teams? We'll see. But the Packers think they haven't seen any reason why he can't.
So much youth. I mean, you have youth leading youth, which makes you think this could be a really exciting offense. But it could also be, I don't want to say a disaster, but it could also be, well, there could be a lot of learning curves here. Is this one of those with a high upside, but also it could be kind of a rough year, and we'll have to wait to see what that looks like?
Certainly. I think that's what you get, right? It was, you know, how do you balance, hey, do we want to draft a veteran guy? Or no, let's not draft a veteran guy and see what we have with the young players. And that's the route the Packers decided to go in. You know, they're going to say, Jordan Love, you have all these receivers, you have all these tight ends, you have these offensive weapons, but they're all very young and unproven. What can you do with that? Again, I think it's, you know, the downside is, you know, these guys are all growing. I shouldn't say downside, but, you know, they're all growing together. We don't know what they can do together just yet. But then the upside is there's a lot of potential. They're growing together in the NFL. I mean, this is kind of a very unique relationship for a team because, you know, a lot of NFL teams, you have proven veteran quarterbacks that, you know, they're just bringing in young guys and, oh, we're working with Aaron Rodgers. We're working with, you know, Patrick Mahomes. But now it's, we have young guys working with young guys. We're growing together. That relationship, I think, will be a lot different. But again, it's the unproven of, we're hoping they don't sink, we hope they swim. And I think, again, we'll see kind of how that all meshes together against the Bears.
Well, and you have, when it does come to experience, you've got experience in the running back position. Aaron Jones, probably the leader there on the offense in terms of his experience. And then, of course, the running back room in particular seems to be an area that the team is confident in, right?
Aaron Jones is one of the team leaders, and he's taken it upon himself to become even more vocal as a leader. A.J. Dillon likes that role as well. He sees himself as a real resource for the younger players around in the locker room, and they're proven players. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon can get it done on the field. And while you're learning with Jordan Love and the outside receivers and the young tight ends, you're going to have a pretty established offensive line, and you got those two guys in the backfield. So I think you'll see them running the ball. I think you'll see swing passes to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Those guys' reception numbers will probably be up there a little bit because they are guys that you can count on. And I would say through the preseason, the Packers showed some things down the field. But now these young receivers have to go against defensive backs. They're going to press them right at the line, right? And if you can't break free of that, it doesn't matter how well Jordan Love can throw the football. Those guys are not going to be open. And if that happens, teams may basically be saying, we dare you to beat us with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and just try it, and we'll see if the Packers can do that.
One other running back who was a surprise to make the 53-man roster, Emmanuel Wilson, who had kind of a breakout preseason, right? Can you tell me a little bit about what, for those who didn't watch the preseason, like I didn't really watch a lot of this, but I watched highlights, where did he come from and how exciting could he be?
Yeah, I mean, an undrafted rookie. I think, again, he was the kind of the quintessential story, right? You're undrafted. You want to prove yourself. You come in and you work hard. You do all the dirty work, and then you impress this Packers team, the brass. When you're looking at, you know, Patrick Taylor, Tyler Goodson, who, you know, despite you got injured, but you're looking at those guys who have said, hey, we've been on the practice squad. We've kind of, you know, dabbled with this offense, but I'm coming in as an unproven guy that no one knows what my name is, but I'm willing to do everything that this Packers team wants me to do. Brian Gutekunst, the GM, was saying that third running back spot, I mean, you're doing a lot that's not really given credit for, right? You're blocking. You're doing all the things that, you know, you're trying to get guys open. You want that quality in a young running back, and that's what they have with Emmanuel Wilson, who's still a hard-nosed runner. I think those intangibles certainly helped him get on the team. And again, I think he's exciting to watch. I mean, it's such a great story, and to have him on the roster is certainly exciting to see, and rooting for him to, you know, finally get some snaps this year.
I want to talk defense. Before we do, there were rumors floating around because, of course, the gravitational force that is Aaron Rodgers was drawing all these players to New York. And there were these rumors that David Bakhtiari was going to be the next one we were going to hear going to the New York Jets. He did not. He is back with the Packers. How important is it to have someone with his, when you talk about the lack of veteran leadership, maybe, or the lack of veterans on that offense, how important is it to have someone like him protecting Jordan Love and leading that offensive line?
I think you hit on a couple of points there. Protecting Jordan Love, that's one, something we can actually see taking place on the football field, and then leading that offensive line. Maybe you don't see that, but you kind of feel that. And David Bakhtiari has been, he is the oldest player on the roster now with the cutting of Pat O'Donnell in the offseason. And David Bakhtiari, he's kind of a free spirit, but he knows Packer football. He knows the organizational standard, and he will be there to provide that. if he's healthy. That's going to be one thing you have to watch with David Bakhtiari probably for the rest of his career. It was never realistic that he was going to go to the Jets this year. He's in Green Bay. I assume it's probably his last year in Green Bay just because of his large contract and what that would mean going forward. And I assume he wants to show that he's healthy, help lead this line, as you said, and position himself for one more contract in the NFL, wherever that may be.
Let's flip to the defensive side, because we had a soundbite on the air this morning from Rasul Douglas saying this year it's got to be the defense. This is one of those years where how important is the defense, and how does the defense look coming into this season?
I think it's really important because, again, you know, you've talked about the dominance of Aaron Rodgers, the dominance of Brett Favre. It was primarily, when you're talking Green Bay Packer football, it's the offense. It's they're throwing the football, they're scoring lots of points, and then the defense is just kind of there. Not the year they won the Super Bowl, of course, but when you're looking at this particular team with how young, again, this offense is, Jordan Love, first-year starter, they're saying, hey, we have veteran guys on our team. We have, you know, a similar scheme with Joe Barry. We want to take the onus upon ourselves and set the tone in week one against the Bears. And we want to say, hey, offense, you can lean on us if there are some growing pains early in the season. So that's, I think, the sentiment of what he was getting at. But it's going to be really important for this team to kind of have a gut check because, again, their run defense was not good last year. And again, there's no secret of what Justin Fields and this Bears offense is going to want to do. They're going to run the football if they have the opportunity to, and can this Packers defense rise to the occasion? Because there was, again, a lot of talk last offseason of, hey, we're beating this Packers offense and Aaron Rodgers, but it's kind of for a reason because this offense struggled. So can the defense set the tone? Can they make a marked improvement from what we saw last year? That's going to be the biggest question, I think, there.
And when it comes to that, health is so important. Rashawn Gary being back and being healthy, how important is that to this defense and its ability to stop the run?
Rashawn Gary is an absolute playmaker, and that's what you need on defense in the NFL. You can have guys who are in the right spot on this in the scheme, and they make the play that comes to them, but you need somebody who's going to go out and create something on occasion. Rashawn Gary can do that for you. I actually think the Packer edge rushers as a group are going to surprise a little bit this year. There's been some pushing there and a lot of internal competition. I think that's going to be a good group. Rashawn Gary will be the headliner in that group.
Now, let me talk about somebody else who could be an impact player, but last year was a head case, Quay Walker. He had the two ejections. There's a lot of focus on him just getting his head right. Where is he coming into this, and how important is it that he can show that he can handle not only the play on the field being an impact player, but manage his emotions?
I think that he's progressed in that area. He was very remorseful about the two ejections that he had last year, and his coaches were all over him about it. Let's face it, you would expect that. You have two ejections in your rookie season. That's going to be on your resume. It's what you're referencing today about Quay Walker. He's got sideline-to-sideline speed. He's a tremendous athlete. The Packers have to find a way to harness that and let that become part of their scheme, not just the guy who's kind of running around, occasionally shows up to make a play, but then almost overcommits and takes himself out of other plays. They need him to be around the ball. He has the physical ability to get there. It is going to be a mental thing for Quay Walker. They've been impressed that we haven't been talking about Quay Walker much because they think he's just kind of steadily coming along under the radar. Well, that's what they want.
I wonder, for a guy like him, you want to, I would imagine you don't want to sort of neuter him in terms of that intensity that he brings, but he has to control it, right? He has to harness it and sort of use it for good. Is that a fair way to put that?
Certainly, yeah. And again, it's if he's put in this position again, how does he handle it? You know, he's talked about, I'm remorseful, I've thought about it, you know, I've found ways to try to, you know, deal with that. If he's faced with that same opportunity this season, again, how does he handle it? Does he step away and say, look, I'm not gonna do anything, or is he gonna give in to his emotions and repeat, you know, what he did last year? So I think that's going to be the biggest thing for him, is to, can he actually own it and put it into action if he faces it this season? That's going to be what we want to see from him, is to improve in that area and still be a good playmaker, and he should be okay.
When we talk about new faces, special teams, there is no Mason Crosby in 2023, and there's a brand new punter. So there's obviously a lot that we're going to learn about the kicking game this year.
You list three players on a special teams roster: holder, punter, kicker.
They're all that's a fire alarm going off because our talk is so hot.
Well, and the special teams could be who knows what here. There have been times in Green Bay where the fire alarm was right on cue with the special teams. They have a veteran long snapper, but he's new to Green Bay. Rookie punter, rookie kicker. To me, that's as indicative of this season as anything. this is an evaluation year, Brian, more than anything else. They want to win. Players like Preston Smith and Aaron Jones and David Bakhtiari, they're another year deeper into their career. They obviously want to have as much success as a team as possible. Organizationally, you're getting through the salary cap this year. You're evaluating a young quarterback. You're evaluating a lot of young players. And then you start to push back going ahead in the future. I would term this an evaluation year. Not to say you can't have success within it, but that's the overarching theme.
I want to talk for a minute about sort of predictions for the season. But first, I just want to say, I asked earlier about the vibe. When you're covering a team like this, I think in recent years, you go in and you know it's about Aaron Rodgers is an MVP quarterback. He's one of the best, but does he have the weapons? Or why didn't they draft any wide receivers? Or is the defense going to be good enough to live up to the offense and that sort of thing? How is covering the team? Does it feel different this year? Is it exciting? Is it sort of like, yeah, are you concerned? Are we heading back to the 70s? I mean, what is the sense right now as you're covering this team?
Sure. I think it's going to be an exciting season. I think someone asked me, where would you kind of rank this season in terms of intrigue? And I said, it's probably at the top because, again, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you know they're going to be at least a team in the playoff conversation. And that's what they were every single year that he was playing. But now it's literally, we don't know. It's a very unknown kind of feeling of what this team will look like and how they will perform. But I think that's also exciting, right? Because, again, if we don't know, opposing teams don't know just quite yet what they're going to see with the Green Bay Packers. The defensive side of the football, probably more proven than the offensive side of things. But again, it's a very intriguing year. I think, again, the vibe, they're confident, they're ready to play football. And it happens to be in Chicago, so there's no better way to kick it off.
And I think, you know, all this youth gives you enthusiasm. So that's what we're feeling in Green Bay right now. It's easy to feel that way through July and August. It starts to change in the regular season, and maybe they'll be absolutely fine. I definitely think the vast majority of Packer fandom is ready for a fresh start. Turn the page. We're ready to go with Jordan Love. A lot happened to this point, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. When you get to November, will you say, well, Aaron Rodgers didn't know how to win football games, though, too? You know, you just don't know. And that's what the intrigue comes from, that Lily was referencing.
It's interesting you say that, though, because I think there's, while everyone said we're just going to focus on Jordan Love, and I think there's a lot of excitement about Jordan Love, we're going to forget about that guy who used to wear number 12, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching. And how are the Packers doing versus how are the Jets doing? I'm sure there are plenty of Packers fans who would just love to see the Jets fall on their faces and not live up to these Super Bowl expectations. Does that matter in terms of the perception of whether this is a successful season? Do the Packers sort of exceed their expectations versus the expectations that are so high of the Jets?
Well, perception is reality, and this is probably the biggest NFL storyline of the year. Aaron Rodgers in New York, and not just how it affects the Packers, how it affects the league, how it affects Aaron Rodgers' legacy. So the Packer fan, if you're just looking at it objectively as a Packer fan, you'd like to see Aaron Rodgers play 65% or more of the snaps.
you want
the
top
number,
right, and that's key for them to get the number one pick.
But you want the Jets to be unsuccessful, because then that pick will be even higher. That's objectively what you want out of the Jets. But
so a healthy but mediocre Aaron Rodgers, right,
yeah, maybe ideal. It's right, not yes, his fault, yes, but they lose. Yeah, right, exactly. Right, okay. Something like that. But, you know, a lot of people do have an affinity for Aaron Rodgers still to this day. They want to see him succeed, or they want to see how that dynamic works in New York with all the other ex-Packers there. So there are a lot of side stories to it. The Jets are going to be, Aaron Rodgers is going to be compared to Green Bay for the rest of his career. That's the way that's going to go. We all know the narrative is going to be there. It happened with Brett Favre, particularly after he came back to the division. But that is in place, and it's the fun of it. It's here we go.
You guys, I've been in Wisconsin for 19 years, and I've enjoyed Packers playoff football, which seems like it's almost an expectation that in January we're going to be off at a watch party somewhere watching playoff football. But so many disappointments, so many things that ended just short of a Super Bowl. I've been here for one in those 19 years. So for all the success the Packers have had, they haven't gotten to that big game. And I just wonder if Aaron Rodgers leads the Jets in season one to the Super Bowl, you know, how hard would that be for this fan base to take? I know you can't you sort of can't let someone else determine your happiness, but we're football fans. That's what we do, right?
That is what we do, and that's what people are going to be watching. There's more pressure on Aaron Rodgers than there is on Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers has the weight of a franchise on him. They traded for him. He's at this point of his career in the biggest market in the league. He's supposed to take them to the Super Bowl, and Packer fans and NFL fans will be watching to see if he can do that. Bear in mind, Brett Favre was an interception away from doing it. If he had done it with the Vikings, the entire history and that trade and the transition, everything looks different. But because he threw the interception and the Vikings didn't get there, now we view that through a certain prism.
So looking at the predictions for this season, if you look at like power rankings, the in general, the NFC North isn't considered to be particularly strong. I mean, the Fox Sports power rankings have Lions ranked 13th in the league, and that's the highest in the NFC North. They have the Vikings at 15th, the Packers 19th, and the Bears 25th. So it is a division that's open, right, for someone to grasp, and that could be this young Packers team. But I'm going to ask you, if I'm putting you guys on the spot here, what are your predictions? Lily, where do you think the Packers land this year? How many wins do you think are reasonable to expect?
Sure. Again, I think in my head, again, this is just my opinion, I feel like if the Packers can make a playoff push, be it in the wild card or whatnot, because that would have to be the wild card, I think this is considered a successful year. It's can Jordan Love manage the offense? Can he just get his first year under him and build from there? You know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't winning a Super Bowl in his first year in Green Bay, right? So you can't really expect that out of Jordan Love. I think this team, if they can get to 9-8, they can get above 500, again, make a push for a wild card spot. I think that's considered a successful season. You know, if in terms of looking at the division, the Lions have the less question marks. So it's easy to pick them as the team that could win the NFC North. I think the Vikings, the Bears, still kind of unknown with a lot of their parts as well. So for me, I'd say the Lions probably have the best chance right now in all the hype to win the division. Then you have the Packers who are still right there. I don't think you lose a step or a big step this season. Granted, it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers type hype and, you know, throwing 70-yard bombs or whatnot. But again, there's still a lot of expectation for the team this year. I think, again, you make a push, I think that's a successful year.
So are you saying you think 9 wins?
I'm thinking 9-8, but that's
9-8. Okay.
Being generous. Just my opinion.
Tim?
I'm going to say the exact same record as last year, 8-9, and an entirely different feel at the end of the season. Last year, 8-9, what a letdown. Missed the playoffs, drudgery, going into another offseason, coming up short of expectations, et cetera, et cetera. You go 8-9 this year, hey, start playing again tomorrow. Everybody's excited. Everybody's ready to roll. I think that's what's going to happen. I will peg it as the same record as last year, but an entirely different feeling as last year. You have a coaching staff in place that should help you win a game or two. This isn't a new coaching staff with a new roster. You have guys who are established in those roles, and Matt LaFleur's been a proven winner so far in the NFL, but I do think it's hard to overcome unproven quarterback, unproven wide receiver, unproven tight end, unproven kicker, unproven tight end, punter, unproven at safety. Those are a lot of positions you're banking on somebody young coming up and delivering right out of the chute. I think that's tough.
So I'll wrap it up with one thing, but I've got you at 8-9, 9-8. You guys did a Fox 6 Sports a Blitz poll, I think, and the lion's share of people, pardon the expression, said 6-8 wins. So kind of in that range, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like expectations going in aren't particularly high, whereas in previous seasons, you go in saying this is a 13-win team, and then they underperform. Like you said, there's great disappointment. Here it almost feels like, unless they just absolutely tank, there are going to be things to take away from the season that are positive. So going in, like you say, not a lot of pressure on Jordan Love. He's just, if he's as good as he was in the preseason, outstanding, right? It's lights out.
I think that it was the burden of expectations in Green Bay for the last 15 years, right? And once you'd said it, you've been here 19 years in this market, Brian, you've seen the Packers, who have all this talent and all this hype every year, get not only win one Super Bowl, only get to one Super Bowl. So, you know, I think on balance, people would say they expected more of that. So the burden of expectation, it's different now with Jordan Love. But if he hits the marks that some of us are talking about here, a couple of years from now, guess what? Expectations right back up.
Of course, the we won't talk about things like onside kicks and the possibilities. That was there could have been more than one. But I'm going to wrap it up with this: the Bears Week 1 prediction. There
again, Chicago's confident. I don't blame them. They're at home. They have a good proven run game. Justin Fields. They're still banged up defensively. We'll see where they're at. And again, I think home field advantage will be good for them, and their fans are hungry, having had a terrible season last year. But that being said, I feel like the Packers still have something to prove. They're not going to come in scared. A lot of these guys are fresh to this rivalry, so it's not like they're going to be, oh, I don't know what's going on here. I think they're confident. They have a good shot to win in Chicago if they, again, don't turn the ball over, which is a key for every single week, and just play how they can play. And again, we're just excited to see what Jordan Love and this offense can dial up. So I'm going to say the Packers shock the Bears on Sunday.
I will follow suit. I think the Packers by a touchdown or 10 points, and I think it's on Matt LaFleur. They have open seasons in the past. Thumbs down. They have had some bad opening games. It's on Matt LaFleur. That has stung him. This is his opportunity to come out of the box with a new quarterback and a mystery team, if you will, and they're playing a team that they know well. It should be the type of game where you can surprise them, odds makers, people touting Chicago, that sort of thing. I pick the Packers to win it on Sunday.
3 for 3, I say Packers by a touchdown. And that's a good time for us to go off the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun by answering a question for which we have not prepared. And I actually have a question in an envelope because, as you can see, we don't have Open Records executive producer Sarah Smith with us. But she provided me with a question which is sealed. I have not.
Hermetically sealed, isn't that what they
call it?
Yeah. By the law firm of, or whatever, the accounting firm of so-and-so-and-so. Okay, so while the two of you, TVV and Lily, might not get too many of these, we're sure you have an opinion. Name one snack that is essential to any Packers tailgate or party. One snack. You probably don't get to that. Right. You don't get
I
to
don't.
Go.
No. Because you're... no, I don't.
If you were to go to a Packers tailgate party, what would be essential?
I would say... I mean, Bugles have to be there, but they're just, that's kind of a fluff
snack. Not what I expected.
And I'll go with like boneless wings or something, have a little more oomph to it.
Okay.
I was going to say boneless wings or some sort of wing, but I would say if not like a buffalo chicken dip, like a beer cheese dip. Whatever you want to dip it in.
So I do get to go to these parties. Yeah. Because I don't have to cover the Packers. And my go-to, because it's quick and easy and always delicious, is a buffalo chicken dip. Mm-hmm. Make it in the crock pot and bring along some chips, and that never disappoints. But I think you've always got to have a good mix. You've got to if you're having the party, you've got to make sure you've got the hot foods, you've got some desserts, and of course you got to have a few cold ones to go along with all that. So I think if you said what would be this, I mean, do you count beer as a snack? I think you couldn't have a Packers
that's
tailgate.
Just like water,
right? Yeah, that's just part of it. But we're in Wisconsin. You've got to make sure it's got cheese. There has to be cheese.
We're pretty fortunate to go to these games, but we're missing out on a little bit based on what you're telling us here, Brian.
It's a good time. I'm sorry. You got I hope we get to experience some more of those this year, especially come playoff time. Tim, Lily, thank you so much for being on Open Record, and it's going to be an exciting season.
It's a lot of it right here on Fox 6 and our various platforms. So we're excited about that. Sunday's game is a late kickoff. It's followed by a special edition of Fox 6 News. We've got the Fox 6 Sports Blitz at night. I'm just kind of programmed to say that
Tim's
this time.
Glad you brought this up because in addition, now we've got new ways to watch some of that because mm-hmm. we've talked for how many years, if you missed the Fox 6 Sports Blitz at 10:35, if you went to bed or you were busy doing other things, it was gone. And now you've got the ability to watch it on YouTube and also the Fox Local app, correct?
Absolutely. So you can see it at a different day part. You want to watch it on Monday or you want to say, what were those guys talking about on Sunday night? Who knows? Sunday's our day. This time of year, Lily, Brandon Cruz, and I, this is what we do. Let's face it. The Packers are you know, it's a religion out there. People follow it. Fox 6 has always been very committed to covering it. So we're talking about it all night long, and this gives us the opportunity to be exposed to a little bit wider audience.
Well, if you have a topic you would like us to discuss on Open Record or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, or you have a prediction for the Packers and Bears, now I'm going to get flooded, send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. That is Fox, the number 6, investigators@fox.com. As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, our executive producer, Sarah Smith, our editor, Dave Machuda, and our chief photographer manning the video switcher, Cale Zimney. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back next week.